Welcome back, everybody, to the Alrighty, the Trade Readers Podcast, the comic book club, where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan. We're your brothers. We read comics.
And we're falling apart over here, apparently.
Yeah, dude, it's only like a half hour later than we normally do.
And it's like, we might as well just recording at 1 a.m.
Yeah.
it feels like a marathon already.
Yeah, dude. Trade Readers at night.
A little bit more at night. Not even after dark. During dark.
After dark, yeah, that's what I meant.
What does after dark even fucking mean? It's not after dark.
I saw there was a show, it was like Tattoo After Dark or something. It was like a 24-hour like tattoo studio.
Oh, wow.
And there'd be people who would like come in and get tattooed at like 2 in the morning or something. And there'd be like people like working like at the shop, and they just had to stay up. It's not like random weird people came in.
Yeah.
It was just normal people, and it could have been set during the day and it would have been the same show.
Right. It's like that episode of SpongeBob.
Yeah. Yeah. But it should have been like where like fucking freaks walked in. They wanted something weird, you know? Yeah. Or like drunk people walked in. They just tattooed a drunk person, even though it's like you're not supposed to do that
or whatever. Right. Yeah. You'd imagine it'd be just drunk people.
Yeah, if I got hammered and there was like last call and someone asked me if I want to get a tattoo and as an option, I probably would. I'd go look.
Yeah. Be like, well, we'll give it a look.
I'll have a look. Of course, we'll have a look. We got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is 30 Days of Night. We got Back Matter Matters in the poll list, but we start with the news. I forgot to look up some news.
There's not a whole lot.
No.
We're recording this one a little bit early, but did you see that there was a Mandalorian and Grogu trailer?
I did see that.
I saw half of it before I was getting a call at work. And yeah, it looks like it. That looks like the movie.
It looks like the show?
The show looks like the movie, or the movie looks like the show, I guess.
That's good.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll see it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not like that.
I like
superstitious like about it to where like I don't want to see anything necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'll watch it, you know, just because I know it's coming, you know?
Right.
And I sat through the rest of the show, so I might as well.
True. When the movie comes out, we'll have to read a Mandalorian comic.
Oh, God. No, thank you.
Like that one that we thought was an original comic, but it was just the show.
Yeah.
We have some teasers for new X books coming out, and we know that there's going to be a Wade Wilson Deadpool book, like Wade Wilson : Deadpool, and a Cyclops book coming out. We just don't know who the creative teams are, but we should know after New York Comic Con this October. So that's cool. A Cyclops.
You said October?
October.
Huh.
So okay. A Cyclops book might be kind of neat. I think that's all I got. I saw a couple like holiday special things, but I weren't anything I was super excited about.
Oh yeah, there's like the DC solicitations.
Yeah, or there's like a Thundercats holiday special. I saw.
Really?
Yeah. So if you're into that,
it's crazy how like some franchises will just kind of miss us, you know? I think that's a little bit like before our time, like Thundercats.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it is. But it's crazy like how they're still going, even though it's like before our time. And we're getting old now, so it's like it's definitely way before other people's time.
Yeah, like that should be our time.
Yeah.
Batman number one sells 500,000 copies.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably expected for Batman number one.
Yeah. You think it's because of just like variants and stuff, or you think it's like...
I think interest. Yeah.
Yeah.
People like to pick up Batman number ones whenever they can, so...
Because it seems like just on the first print, that was more than absolute Batman. Right, because that was more like 400,000, or is it about the same?
I don't know. I will say that Absolute Batman has some fucking motion in like the mainstream, it seems like.
Yeah.
Because I'll like see random TikToks, and it'll be like the Absolute Joker. Did you see that? Like,
yeah.
Promo thing? And it's just people being like, what's he going to do against this? And it's just like, I've seen that multiple times every time they reveal like Absolute fucking Waylon Jones, and they're like, what's Batman supposed to do against this kind of deal?
Yeah.
And there's this guy that I saw had 1 million likes, and he had a Absolute Batman cosplay that looks like pretty good.
Oh yeah.
And it was just like him checking his phone, and then he saw a picture of Absolute Joker, and he just like walked away.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, this shit got a million likes, which means it has like some sort of general
awareness. Public,
like yeah. awareness, yeah. So it's kind of crazy.
Did you see any of the tweets that I've sent you recently?
No.
Okay. Well, there's like the graphic novels and manga monthly bestsellers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Absolute Batman's up there.
It's at number 5.
But Dave Pilkey fucking sweeps.
Dude, he like wipes the floor with Absolute Batman. He's got 3 books up there.
Big Jim Begins.
In the top 6. Big Jim Begins. Adventures of Super Diaper Baby. Just running back, I guess. And the Scarlet Shedder. Is that about a dog?
Yeah. It must be about a dog.
The 12th book in Dogman.
Dogman just runs his number.
It's fucking ripping. The only thing that competes is like Jujutsu Kaisen or like Solo Leveling.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Really? Solo Leveling?
And Spy Family's on there too.
Mm. That's so funny that Absolute Batman gets mogged by Super Diaper Baby.
Right. Like, maybe one day you'll get to Super Diaper Baby numbers.
Yeah, you're not quite there yet, champ.
I saw like someone tweet like, wow, Absolute Batman's doing like really good. It's competing with manga, you know?
Yeah. It's like, okay.
And I'm like, I know manga does like well, but.
Mm-hmm. But that was also the first volume of it. So I don't know if you necessarily take into account like all issues of it as well. Like, I don't know.
Oh, as far as sales or whatever?
Yeah, because I assume single issue sales, as far as like units sold, is more than like the first volume of
yeah,
that. So
sure.
I wonder if that was only like first volume. But
like then,
but it feels,
I think it's New York Times or whatever.
Yeah, but it feels good that we're up there.
It's something, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the only one who probably has a chance of getting up there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd imagine.
But not a lot of news. It's all right.
Yep, that's okay. Slow week.
What book did we read this week, Nathan?
30 Nights of Day.
Yes, sir.
That's what I read, at least. It was a very happy book.
Very
gleeful. What would be the opposite of 30? Like, because vampires and it's like night, but if it's during the day, it's like
30 Nights of Day? Yeah, because like I think in Antarctica, there's also like nothing but daylight for like 30 days.
This is in Alaska, though.
What did I say?
Antarctica.
Antarctica too, probably.
Yeah, but
just the opposite. Surely
it is. Yeah, it's just the opposite.
Sarah had a friend who lived in Alaska for a bit.
Yeah,
and so it'd be like daylight, like at like 9 p.m.
Right, but there's like, times of the year where it's like it doesn't go down either.
Right,
it's like the opposite. So, what a wild place to live.
Definitely. What did you think of this, Nathan?
This is great.
It's great, you say.
I think it's like a really good like short horror story, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
I just like it's like weird.
Sure.
I didn't really know what this was kind of going into it. Like, I've always heard this. I forgot that it was like vampires. So it's probably like my favorite vampire thing, because I'm not a big vampire guy.
Wow, okay. I thought Killadelphia is like
Killadelphia is really
much
good
better
too,
in my opinion. As far as like what I prefer, I guess.
I think
Killadelphia is also kind of a new aspect. For me,
Killadelphia feels fresher for sure.
Yeah.
I just like,
this is like almost 20 years old,
but I'm also,
or it is 20 years old.
I also think part of it is just like, this is just a good idea. This is like the best like horror setting I think you could have.
Yeah.
Cause it's just like, it's nighttime, which is really scary, but
a place
like,
you already
time,
don't want to live.
Yeah. A place, it's cold. It's really dark. It's like that all the time for 30 days.
Yeah.
Know? And I'm like, what a good concept for a horror thing. And I know that was like a movie first, but I was like kind of enamored by that concept. So I think wasn't 30 Days of Night like a movie first?
No.
It was this first?
This first. This
Whoa.
Inspired the movie.
Cool. What a great concept then.
Why do you think I would like reverse, like we always read like,
I thought
stuff
it was a movie. I thought it was a comic adaptation of the movie.
No, not at all.
Oh, interesting.
That'd be crazy. I'd be pissed like, because like the art's like interesting.
It's funky.
I think it's more like
Killadelphia has better art. I will say that.
I think it's more, yeah, of course. But like conceptually, it'd be crazy if like this is what the artwork they got from adapting like a live action movie. You
right.
know? But did you watch the movie at all?
I didn't have time to.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, yeah, the art is very interesting. It reminds me of Dave McKean, you know.
Yeah.
But like, or inspired by Dave McKean, kind of.
Yeah, but a little less
defined.
Yeah, because this guy's a bit blurry.
Yeah, there's a lot of effects going on here.
Yeah, he's got some like faces that I kind of laugh at a couple times. But when he like when it settles into like the horror parts of the book, I think it's really great. When it's like in the beginning and you're supposed to like recognize what somebody looks like by their face, it's not as strong for me because it's just right. Like, why is his face all smeared up? You know what I mean? So it was by Steve Niles wrote it. Ben Temple Smith is the artist. And he just has a very interesting style. It's kind of a mix of like Dave McKean and like Bill Sienkiewicz almost.
Sure.
So I just like that aspect of it. It's got a very distinct identity. So I liked it.
It's not necessarily groundbreaking like plot wise, but I think like the ingredients add to like a good story, make a good reading experience.
I think they do a lot with a little.
Yeah, here. Definitely.
Because there's like just little things that like a character will say, and I'm like, oh, there's a lot of lore here then, like in this universe. And so I could see why. I saw that there was like spinoffs and stuff of it, and like Matt Fraction did one, I guess.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bunch of like.
And I was like, that's interesting. But I figured it was just like movie, and then this was just kind of like a different year or something. So, but yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, this is like 2003, and I think the movie was like 2007.
Cool. This is a pretty short one, too. It's like 3 issues.
It's like 80 pages, yeah.
Yeah. So it kind of felt like like one-shots wannabe.
Yeah, I couldn't really figure out like what the where the pages or like when the where the issues ended. Just from
mine had issue breaks.
Really?
Yeah.
What, on Comixology?
Yeah. But it's weird because they gave me the like Kindle UI. It's not the comics UI.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Let me see the first page you got.
Here. Like this?
Okay. Yeah. Same book.
Okay.
I was like, what if we just read two different
things? That would be
things?
So funny. I think all the other 30 Days of Nights are like, it's still fucking dark out or whatever. Like, I think they have subtitles. So I think this is the only like 30 Days of Night book.
Right. 30 Days of Night. Here we go again.
Next year. But yeah, let's jump into it. So it takes place in Barrow, Alaska, which is like a pretty northernmost town of Alaska. It takes place in November, and it's the last day before the sun doesn't rise for 30 full days, which is crazy. That's the thing that happens. But Stella and Eben, I think is his name?
Eben.
They're married, and they're part of like the police in this little town, and they're investigating that someone's been like stealing a bunch of cell phones and putting them into like a big pile. And so people are like reporting missing cell phones and stuff.
How are they reporting them, Nathan? They can't call in.
They get like, I'm sure they have like penguins and stuff over there, like like messenger penguins. And so you just see little penguins.
Send a penguin.
Yeah, and they're like waddling around trying to get to.
Oh, they put the message in their little egg hole.
Oh, yeah. They put the message in an egg, like one of those, plastic eggs.
Yeah, for
Easter. And
then
they keep it safe.
Nice.
That's how you check the mail.
And warm.
Yeah. And warm. You can read a warm message.
The kind of mail today, just reach
I hate
up
when
there.
My fingers are cold, dude. I don't want to be reading mail like that. And so yeah, they're investigating that. And Stella's like, are you going to watch the final sunset with me? And so they do that. But then that night, Sheriff Eben arrests a guy for being super weird at a diner. He's asking for like raw meat. And he's like just causing problems and stuff. So he gets arrested. But that guy later has like the strength to bend the bars of his jail cell and escape. And so he gets shot by Eben and killed. And then elsewhere at the town communication center, there's a group of vampires that destroy the building to cut off outside communication. And when Eben investigates, the damage is already done. And they see a large group of vampires in the distance approaching the town.
Is that the end of issue one?
Yeah, and that's issue one. It's when they like see the vampires coming in and they're like, oh shit.
With the binoculars?
Yeah, let me see.
Show me your last page.
Wait, where's my last page? Well, it reverted from it. It gave me like issue breaks, but now it doesn't. What the
it
fuck
does
happened?
Give you issue breaks?
It used to give me issue breaks, but now it doesn't.
Oh, weird.
But I think it was this page.
Okay.
When they saw them with binoculars.
That's crazy. But your notes are fine?
Yeah, my notes are good.
Okay, that's good.
So basically...
What if they like change your notes?
I'm like, how do they do that? But yeah, I feel like the art style of the book fits really well when he's like drawing vampires. like just like their weird scratchy faces, and he draws like the teeth really sharp and like fucked up mouths and stuff. So I feel like his kind of distorted, weird art style fits good for them. But then when I'm looking at like Eben and Stella and we're like figuring out, you know, about their relationship and stuff, their faces just kind of look weird and like kind of hard to recognize.
They look like PS2 characters.
Dude, they do. Yeah. And, and it like just pops into a different scene and the graphics haven't like rendered in yet.
Or if you have like,
I'm looking at a page like this and I'm like, what are we doing?
Yeah. Or like they have like a morph suit that has like a face printed on it, you know?
Yeah. Those are weird. And they have like those Walter White ones.
You could be like Drake or something.
Yeah. That's exactly what that looks like, actually.
At the bar, when the dude's asking for raw meat, he's also asking for whiskey. Mm-hmm. And I guess alcohol's illegal there. And that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
They just like, it can't be 30 days a night and also have like booze around.
Yeah. Why not?
At least beer.
That'd be a sweet party.
That means it's
imagine a club.
It's like a it's a party. It's a 30-day party. So there's like this, the power plant or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and they kill Gus, yep. which is the guy looking over it. Did we get to that point yet?
Yeah.
How did they kill him? Like, I couldn't really tell like what they did to him necessarily.
Yeah, that's a little bit confusing too. I mean, they cut his head off and they put it on like a stake. Or whatever.
Yeah, on a stick. They do that.
But when they initially kill him, it looks like...
We
don't see him get killed, I don't think.
Like, this is the panel.
Oh, is that it?
I think so, because there's, like, blood there.
I don't know, they just punch him?
I guess so. In, like, the chest or something?
That is the one.
So it's just, like, a little... Some of the action, it's, like, hard to tell, like, what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
You said they shot the guy?
Yep. Yeah, so that's something I didn't understand is that later there's another vampire that gets shot and it's like, it just doesn't work.
They shoot him still alive. I think
it has to be like a really good shot. It can't just be like...
It has to be like to the dome. The other guy, he had like his cheek blown off.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Okay. Is that like normal vampire lore? Can I shoot a vampire and it'll still come after me? Or is this kind of like a unique take?
Doesn't it have to be like a silver bullet or something?
Yeah, that sounds right.
No, wait, no, that's I think it's a werewolf.
That is werewolf.
Vampire is just like the steak.
They don't like garlic.
The wooden steak.
Yeah.
And the garlic sucks.
Who decided that?
I feel like a bullet to the head would probably...
Take out most things.
Oh, well, you know, in Twilight, they rip heads off all the time. And that...
Yeah.
And that takes
them out.
And then they burn the pieces, but that seems like just an extra step.
Yeah. The lettering's, I think, pretty good. It does make some of the vampires a little bit hard to read their dialogue, like that first guy. Sometimes the lettering gets like small and I have to be like, what the fuck is he saying?
Yeah, I guess they have like a voice that they put on or whatever.
Yeah. So, but overall, I mean, I think it's just a great setting for a horror book. So pretty cool. And his art style, I think, is really good for a book that's completely set at night.
Definitely. I don't know how
it feels,
it would go with like daytime scenes.
Yeah, because like it always feels like foggy and snowy and stuff in here. Because of I'm pretty sure he does like some sort of multimedia like working on this. So
yeah, it seems like he's doing like paints and stuff.
Yeah.
Or digital paints.
So issue 2. So the invasion of vampires goes crazy. It was like really quick and people were basically hopeless. And lots of them were turned to vampires and some of them were killed. But the ones that were turned to vampires, I guess, just joined their side after they become vampires. So the survivors are they're hiding in an industrial furnace that was somewhere in town that helps like keep the town warm, I guess. And it's, I guess, big enough for all of them to fit in it. I don't really know how an industrial furnace works.
Yeah, I've never heard of this.
We're just natty hot, I think, over here.
Yeah.
So we don't know what this is. But Sheriff
Eben... I don't know what storm drains are either.
Yeah. Yeah, true. When Sheriff Eben goes on a food run, he's caught by a vampire that he shoots in the head, but it doesn't kill him before kind of like running back. And the survivors see the vampire leader, Vicente, I think is his name. And he enters town and he kills the vampire that like organized this raid because he put the vampires at risk of like being discovered. And so Vicente then comes up with a plan to gather all the dead and survivors and torch the town and make it all look like an accident. And that's the end of the second issue. So I like the lore there that it's like, there's all there's like a little bit of dialogue where he's like, you put us at risk of being found out. Do you know how long it took for the general public to just think that we were a myth?
Yeah.
So that makes me think that like these guys are pretty old. They've like always been around, but they've just kind of, whenever they do feed, they do it like pretty smart.
Yeah.
So I like that bit of dialogue, like just in general, like building the world a little bit pretty effectively.
During like the raid, there was like a vampire that like got on someone's car or whatever. I think when they're driving, and I like the strong of the car. It's like,
it's good. That's like Frank Miller drawing now.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, I forgot to finish the car.
Yeah. He didn't render it.
Completely. It was like a small panel, so it's not a ton of detail.
Yeah. I like when a top dog rips up one of his own henchmen.
Mm-hmm.
That's good character development for a bad guy.
Really show him what's up.
Yeah.
Let everyone else know. There's also like this side plot of some dude who's like going to go there to get like pictures of this. Like there's like, I think his mom told him to go.
There's like some New Orleans set subplot, and I didn't really understand what it was necessarily, but there's a guy that is like a helicopter pilot, and he either knows that this is going to happen somehow. I think he like read some emails that weren't encrypted or something.
Yeah. Like I think the dude who like told Vicente or whatever, he like emailed him about this place that they could.
Yeah.
Vampires using email is hilarious.
Yeah. But I wonder what email platform they use.
Probably AOL at this time.
Yeah, true. Rocket Mail.
Yeah. Hey, AOL. Rocket Mail is sick. Okay.
Rocket Mail is sick.
There's like a scene where there's like a little girl that's eating somebody.
Yeah, that's a cool scene.
I feel like it's not nearly as scary as it like could be, you know?
She just has a big head and it's off-putting.
Yeah, it kind of looks like something that'd be in like Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Oh, know? Totally.
Because I see it and it's just like drawn like,
and it would be like kind of oddly animated, like it's like kind of stuck almost.
Like not like Courage at all.
Yeah. It's interesting that the people just understand that they're vampires, and it seems like they know how vampire logic works. Because they're like, oh, daytime's not gonna happen for another 20 days or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so they know that they know enough about vampires to know that they can't survive in sunlight.
Yeah.
You know? Which I don't know how they would have known if vampires didn't exist in this prior.
Yeah, I rewatched the movie, and someone was like, they're like vampires, and someone's like, vampires don't exist. I'm like, I think they exist.
They're right there.
Yeah.
Okay. Something that is interesting about this is that when you are bit by a vampire, you turn into a vampire pretty fucking fast.
Yeah, it's like a couple seconds.
Yeah, it seems like as soon as like some blood gets to your heart or whatever, you just turn. But then they immediately become hungry and like homies with the other vampires, it seems like. So they kind of just join in on. It seems like they're kind of fueled by hunger in general.
Right.
Or thirst.
They're kind of. Yeah, I guess like vampires get thirsty. So it's like.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of close to like zombie like aspects. I guess like how they're told.
Yeah, you just know? Smarter so, and stronger.
Right. Did you pick up that they were saying that like smell was like an aspect here?
Yeah, I think they like smell blood, but if they're too cold,
like then, they don't smell it,
then it's harder to smell blood.
Yeah, they were like, they brought it up.
Yeah,
and then like it wasn't really like a detail that mattered.
Yeah,
and so it's just like, why bring it up?
Yeah, why make that a thing if you have to cover up why it's not in play at all here?
Right.
Yeah, I get that. Maybe they were trying to explain like how the zombies knew where the town was, because it seems like it's in the middle of nowhere. But even still.
And then people can turn just by like being scratched, apparently. Yeah. So that's kind of like a zombie kind of aspect where it's like if blood can it kind of gets mixed or whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's not just like a bite.
I feel like bite is classic though.
But they can like eat them but not turn them kind of thing.
Yeah, they can just kill them.
Yeah.
If they really want to.
I guess vampires can do that too if they like drink too much blood or something.
Get killed?
Yeah. They can kill whoever they're sucking on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
At least from Twilight lore. That's how I know.
Too much blood?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Twilight lore, it took a little bit to turn into a vampire.
Yeah, because...
Or maybe it only did for Bella because like, she was like almost dead.
Edward was sucking out venom from her arm. but wasn't doing it too much, so because like it would have killed her or whatever, but yeah. Also it didn't seem to turn her, I guess because he sucked out the venom.
Where did the venom come from?
It was from some other vampire biting her.
Oh.
So, I'm not sure.
Gross. But in issue 3, the town like is set on fire and the survivors are feeling pretty hopeless. There's like a random vampire that finds their hiding spot, but he gets his head cut off before he can alert any other vampires. That helicopter pilot investigating the fire is attacked by vampires and crashes into the town, which conveniently creates like an alibi for how the fire started. And then, feeling completely hopeless, Eben draws blood from the dead vampire and injects it into himself, which like slows the transformation into a vampire the way that he did it. But he does get the strength so that he can try and like fight for the town. And so Eben gets into a fight with Vicente, creating a diversion for the survivors to escape. All the vampires are like kind of watching this big fight. Eben gets what he hits like a lucky shot on Vicente, it looks like, and just kind of punches through his mouth and ends up killing him. And that scares the other vampires away from the town. And so Eben saved the town, but he's a vampire now, so that sucks. But he spends his final moments with his wife, Stella, watching the sunrise with her until he is disintegrated. And that's kind of a banger ending.
Yeah, really good one.
I was like, what a nice moment.
He could just stay in the furnace or something.
Well, yeah, they had that as like a idea. And it was like, we can keep you alive. But he's like, nah, I want to be with you.
He would have been like all. He would have been like more savage eventually. And
then, yeah, eventually. It seemed like injecting yourself with like a little bit of vampire blood just activates powers but doesn't make you feral.
Yeah.
So that's interesting too.
So like Vicente is like telling his people, he's like, find the survivors. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how does he know there's survivors? You know?
Yeah, you just got there.
They took out like 40 people or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's like 5 people missing or something.
Yeah.
There's only 5 people in the furnace. So it's like, how do they know like there's something missing, you know?
I think because one of the vampires saw Eben like run off. So he knows that there's like somebody out there.
Oh, right.
So he's like, find survivors, I think. One of my favorite panels is when they were just like eating random kids, or there were like some random vampire kids. Did you see that?
Yeah.
And they look insane. It's this guy right here.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is that? I mean, it's obviously a scared kid, but it's like, Jesus Christ.
And they can obviously jump really high because one of them jumped onto a helicopter.
Yeah. I mean, they're pretty strong. I can see that they're
vertical is crazy.
Yeah. They got crazy vert. This fight scene, I think, is actually pretty cool too. Just the way that it's done.
Yeah, that seemed to go pretty well.
Mm-hmm. But like this punch that he did through his mouth, crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy fight.
Very like Invincible-esque.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the fight has like a bunch of scratches and he scratches half of Vicente's face off at one point. So pretty cool.
My favorite panel is this one, like after the fight, where like Eben's talking to Stella. He's like, it's okay, we're safe. But everything's burning around them.
Everything's all fucked.
Yeah. That's it's like, I guess they rebuild or whatever.
Oh, God, it'd be so annoying to rebuild there.
Yeah.
Imagine all the like the deliveries of just wood or something.
So much shipping costs.
Oh, my God. Know? They bankrupted the town at the very least.
Essentially.
Dude, my back matter changed. This is so weird.
That's so strange. Because we get like the...
Because I didn't have any back matter. It just ended.
Oh.
So now there's
like little thank yous from the creators.
Yeah, it looks like it. So I don't know if you looked at any of the back matter, but you also tell me.
Oh, back matter matters.
Back matter matters.
Back matter matters. Yeah, the thank you notes from the creators, and there's like a script for, I don't know.
Parts of it, I guess.
Issue 1.
Yeah, issue 1.
And then back page. So kind of weak back matter.
Yeah. Some scripts, but pretty cool.
What do you rate this, Nathan?
I give this some really nice garlic bread.
Garlic bread.
So I could be safe from the vampires.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a treat, you know? It doesn't feel like a full like meal necessarily, but it's a good intro to our horror month.
Yeah.
Of horror comics.
Yeah, I've been wanting to do this one like really since the pod started.
Yeah.
Because I just knew it was like
Yeah, I've always had it on my radar.
I knew the movie was an adaptation. I'd seen that. And so it was something that I always like thought of during like the horror months.
Mm-hmm.
So just a mere 5 years later, we get to it.
Yep, finally got to it. And I think it's a good one.
I'm glad you liked it.
What'd you rate this?
I gave it like a like it. And Cold Stone has a seasonal like signature. It's called just Trick or Treat or whatever. Nice. And it's like the ice cream is like black.
Oh, wow.
You know, and then you put like, they put like, I don't know, festive sprinkles on it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it like, it looks festive, but I don't know if it necessarily like brings any like new flavors to it.
Got it.
You know? So.
Just black ice cream?
Yeah. The art, like it like works, but I just was expecting something different, I guess.
Yeah.
And it is like short. So there wasn't a ton, I guess. Like, I guess it could have been longer, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting because you don't see anything that's only three issues, I feel like.
Right.
Like, the only thing I can think of is, like, the White Trees.
I think.
And so that's how you know this creator was like, you know what? We got three in us. And that's fine. We don't stretch it out to five. We don't, you know, squish it down to one.
That new James Tynion and Michael Walsh book, Exquisite Corpses. Mm. Have you seen that?
I know of it.
Yeah, that trade is three issues.
Really?
But they're like, I think they're like double-sized issues.
Oh, okay.
Like
the trade, that's kind of cool, too.
The trade's like 140 pages, so it's like, there's like some meat there.
Mm-hmm.
You want to guess what the League of Comic Geeks rating is?
Yeah. I feel like it's pretty positive, but maybe not as much as like some of the other ones. So I'd say 4.2.
Okay, this one is a 3.9.
Ooh,
mostly positive.
Tough. not even the
We
the
read
full...
plenty of stuff that's in that ballpark.
Yeah,
so.
Not true. 3.9 is good.
Yeah.
Out of 5. That makes sense.
So let's get into the pull list. Colon.
Shove in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box? We got Green Lantern number 27.
Yup.
We got Ultimate Hawkeye, number one.
Oh, nice. I forgot about that.
Who's writing that? Do you remember?
No.
It's like somebody. And I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, Dennis Good. Camp, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So that's a thing. Beneath the Trees, Where Nobody Sees, Rite of Spring, number three.
Number three, nice.
And then Skinbreaker, number one. That Robert Kirkman and David Finch book.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah. We hear about these things and like it just comes, you're like, oh, there's
yeah. Yeah. here it is.
I can't remember if I requested it or not, but
what'd you read this week?
I finished The Boys, Dear Becky, those issues 4 through 8.
Nice. And so that's all of The Boys now, right?
That's all The Boys. I read it all.
Nice. Did you see that Gen V came out?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Did you watch it?
No.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Nice. I just didn't know when it was coming out. I didn't even know that they had
a
trailer.
I saw like a couple ads here and there. And then I like always flip through the streamers or whatever. And then I saw that was out and I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
And they dropped the first three episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's weekly from there.
Cool.
So with The Boys, the 8 issues went like by so fast. It seems like, I think when you're working on all of it and it's like 100 issues total,
yeah,
you kind of just churn through it kind of fast
because yeah,
you're kind of thinking about it as this whole body.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was reading it, they're like, how they're kind of setting it up, I was like, there's opportunity to do like a ton of stuff because they're doing stuff before Huey, you mm-hmm. know, and then they're introducing like these different characters and stuff that are like an issue like in the OG run, but I was just thinking like they jump like between the future and like the past, and there's just so much opportunity for there to be more, you know, if he wanted to, but maybe this didn't sell that well.
Hmm.
And so he
does, like, it seem like he was trying to do more.
I don't if he's think like with kind the of- concept, like the Dear Becky concept where like Huey has like this journal, it was definitely going to be like a mini series, but yeah. It just seems like he could go back if he wanted because there's characters in the show that like are never in the comic, mm-hmm. you know, and things like that. So if there was more, I would read it.
Yeah.
Not even just like the completionist aspect of me. It's just like, you just kind of get into the rhythm of it and you, I guess I just kind of always want like a little bit more.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was good.
So you liked it just in its entirety by the end, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Because I think there's kind of a lot of haters on The Boys.
I think it's people who read just like the first trade and like it isn't really just like the show, mm-hmm. you know, but
it's definitely a lot of people that like the show probably and try to go into the comic and get a pretty jarring different experience almost.
Right. Like I don't think
same like people vibes, get,
are,
I guess.
But I don't think people are used to like the Derek Robertson artwork being as like brutal as it is, you know, and it's like upsetting.
Yeah.
You know, so you kind of have to get used to that. There is like shock value moments like there are in the show and whatnot, but I think you just get so much more from the book. Just the way it's like written, it's like a little bit more dense and there's just kind of more moving parts.
Nice.
And it seems like it, the whole thing is more well put together than like the show is.
Right.
Like these later seasons, I'm like, I don't know if they know what they're doing necessarily.
Yeah, I've kind of felt that too. But only with this last season, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's like Butcher has these like weird powers that are like tentacles. And they're fucking with
right.
them. So I'll be interested to see how they close it out. I think it's good that they only have one season left.
Yeah.
For sure. And then we'll see what they do with Gen V, I guess.
I think Gen V is cool because they're
like all new, right?
Introducing, they still have the opportunity to have characters that were like in the book.
Yeah.
That they didn't use in like The Boys, which is neat.
Yeah, like Tech Knight.
Tech Knight and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So things like that.
Yeah, it's cool.
I read Batman number one by Matt Fraction and Jorge Jimenez.
Yep. Sorry. No, I almost slipped up there. I would have had to beat you down.
I know. That I like that a lot. I think it's a great start.
Cool. Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things, and that's kind of it's got to be so hard to write a Batman number one.
Oh yeah, and I think Matt's like writing it in a way to where like each issue is kind of like self-contained.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not necessarily like an arc. It's not like the first part, but like an arc.
Yeah,
but there might be a bit of that. But I think they kind of should stand alone pretty well by themselves. So,
yeah, I think it's a good concept because it's like, what do you even do? But then I wonder how long his run will be if he's just going to be doing that.
Right.
Because it could have some longevity if he keeps up like how good it is.
Right.
But I'll be interested to see like how it feels like 10 issues in, 15 issues in.
I think he'll do it as long as they'll let him.
I think that's most people. Yeah.
Right. So
that's cool.
Yeah. Pretty good. And then I read Powers 25, number one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, pretty good. Great to see Michael Oeming's art, you know, back in this world. I don't know if like it was as exciting of an issue as I was hoping it would be. You know, it seems kind of like familiar to like the first trade that we read.
Yeah.
But
is it kind of just like a lot of dialogue, kind of like rambling dialogue type stuff? Or
not necessarily rambling, but there is like a lot of dialogue and I was kind of jumping from like the beginning to like where it is now. And it doesn't seem like the middle parts are as important to understand this.
Right.
But I think it would have added to it. I think.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, I just wanted to give it a try and it's good stuff. Cool. Did you read anything else?
You didn't read this? Deadpool Batman?
No, it's big.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough.
So
I like started reading Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees and then I got pulled away. And that was like the only chance I had to like read anything.
Yeah.
This last week's been kind of a blur because it's the last week before my wedding. So
last week of freedom.
Yeah.
And you wasted
last week before I got the ball chain on me. But I like half watched a couple movies. I like fell asleep to Chicken Run.
Good movie.
It is a good movie. It's so impressive.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, it fucking boggles my mind how they do that shit, man.
I need to get around to that new one.
Not as immediately funny as I remember.
I think
but the commentary is like pretty strong, so that's cool.
I think it's very quotable, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like one of those ones where it's like kind of funnier to quote or whatever, but it is good stuff.
But like it's such fluid movement. Like there's dogs that are like running towards chickens and stuff in this. I'm like, wow, it's so smooth. I wonder how they did that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're really good at the craft. I did like play the beginning of a new game called Arena Breakout Infinite, which I think is a terrible name because I can't remember what it is. It just sounds like a bunch of buzzwords in my head.
Seems like you got it.
I wrote it down. I had to look it up. I was like, Infinite Arena.
Breakdown.
Mission Infinite Arena, I think. And so I had it wrong, but it's basically an extraction shooter, which is the most famous example, I think, is Escape from Tarkov, which I have played. But it's so... That game is so complicated, and this game is good because it's a less complicated version of that, but I still feel a little bit lost, so it feels cool to play it still. It's not like baby game. But basically, an extraction shooter is like you're thrown into a town, and there are other people there, but you just loot stuff and you leave. And if you die, you lose all of your stuff, including like what you went into it with. So that could be like guns that you found that are really good and they prepare you really well for fights with other people or NPCs.
Mm-hmm.
But if you die, you lose that stuff and you have to buy like more things. And there's like a ranking system. So the more extractions you do, the better it is. But you have to be... What I think makes it attractive for people is that it's very realistic as far as like if you get shot in the leg, you need to like attend to that and you walk slower and your guy makes a lot of noise because he's like, like kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so there's like really good proximity noises. If you hear someone shooting, you're like, oh, that sounds far away. Or if there's someone shooting, you're like, that could be like right outside kind of deal. And there's like proximity voice chat if you want that. But there's like a lot of mechanics. Whenever you reload, you have to like physically reload the magazines.
Yeah.
So you could take time to do that in the beginning before you even go in. Or if you forget, then it's like you're fucked. You have to like drink water. So it's just like a lot of like moving mechanics that you have to think about. And then when you're going into a fight, it's like you have to really make sure you're prepared and taking like a smart fight.
Yeah. And I always liked like the hardcore like game modes of like,
yeah,
Call of Duty.
It's definitely that. If you hit someone like in the head, they are out.
Right.
On, like the gun.
Like if you shoot someone like five times with a pistol in the head,
yeah,
and they die, that always like,
and this game drove me crazy. Because it's like when you get hit, you can heal yourself, but there's bandages, there's medical first aid kit, there's a surgical kit, depending on how much bleeding you're doing. You can like do like a little mini surgery on yourself.
Mm.
Or there's like painkillers for different types of things. So you have to like kind of know how long it'll take you to fix yourself up.
Yeah.
You know, if you're getting hit in a fight. And it's funny because I'll be so prepared and like spend a lot of like the money that I have in the game to make sure I'm prepared. And then I'll just like immediately die.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I like was trying to figure out the mechanics of the game and I only brought like one magazine full of ammo. And I thought I had way more, but I didn't. And so I only shot like 30 bullets and then I was out. And so all I had was a knife. And so I had to be like really, really smart about how to handle it. And I was like,
yeah,
this run's fucked. But I ended up killing a guy and getting like the coolest weapon because that was like what he spent a lot of money on. And then I was able to like kind of just run the shop.
Yeah.
And it's cool because you can leave whenever. Like there's points in the map to extract. And so you can just choose to leave. But sometimes people will camp around those spots and stuff too. So you have to be careful still. But it's really fun. I think it's kind of a like intense sort of experience.
Yeah.
When you're getting into the action.
For sure.
So it's fun. I only played like an hour of it. That was like the free time I had.
Yeah.
But pretty cool.
I like had to redo everything I did in Skate. Because somehow my Xbox was connected to your EA account.
Yeah, I don't really know how that happened.
I was like playing on your account and changing everything on your...
Yep.
That you had set up and doing a lot of your missions and stuff.
Yeah, and when I tried to play on my account, you would change my character and stuff.
Yeah.
And I thought that EA was resetting my character because I made it a white guy with cornrows. And maybe I was like, maybe EA doesn't allow that anymore. Maybe that's too woke.
Yeah, maybe I can't make the most ridiculous looking character.
Yeah. And so I thought that's why I was getting kicked out for servers.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised that there... Were you getting server issues? Like,
not
a queue to get in?
Not since the first day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I logged on twice just to play a little bit. And
I think
there weren't long queues, but they were like 2 minutes.
The biggest issue I had was probably logging in probably the same time that you were logging in and we kept kicking each other out.
Yeah.
You know,
but that was a user error.
Yeah. But once we figured all that out,
that's good.
We got set up. So it was like I was doing a lot of the same kind of challenges and stuff. And then like a few things that I didn't do before. So
there was a challenge where I had to be in a co-op party to do it.
Have you, on Skate?
Yeah.
No.
they like make you join some random dude's part, or if you have friends, but I didn't have any friends on at the time that had it. And so it's like you have to be in a co-op party and do the challenge with them.
Yeah, if that's the case, I'll ring you up.
Yeah, you can.
Well, help.
But it's fun, man. I just enjoy going to missions even. Like, I'll just, like, I like that they clearly set up missions that are in cool parts of the town.
Yeah.
And so after you do, like, whatever mission is, you can get creative with it from there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty sweet. I found a really cool skate park that's, like, near, I guess, the ocean. So it's kind of on the outskirts of a map, but it's just, like, a skate park that is really creative.
The one that's, like, all white or whatever?
I think so. No. The one that's, like, in a warehouse?
Yeah.
That one's kind of cool, too, but there's a much better one that looks like a typical skate park, with like, graffiti and stuff.
Is it, like, on a pier?
I think so. It's I think it's, like, near a pier. But they have, like, they have one of those, I don't know what you call them, but, like, skate parks where it's just, like, you just go fast on it. Like, you don't really do tricks, but you, like...
I forget what those are called. It's, like, a big bowl, kind of.
Pretty much. Or it's, like, a big...
It's like a path.
It's like a long half pipe thing. And so it's like a path.
Okay. I know,
like,
what you're talking about.
Yeah. And I saw
is
one.
Is it
of
like blue?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That place is cool. But I find myself having fun just getting creative.
Yeah. It's cool that like all the challenges are just in this like one part. And then like eventually it'll kind of branch out. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to like rush going to the other sections, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm just kind of like, I'm not like trying to like speed run it or anything, you know?
Yeah, me neither. I just kind of go from challenge to challenge right now. So I hope they add like skate and stuff in there.
Yeah.
So that'd be cool.
Hopefully that should be a thing. That seems to be like a pretty big
like ask.
Yeah. Like criticism. Like there's no like hall of meat or anything and stuff like
that. Yeah. I think they had some sort of roadmap that I've seen before.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
It seems like it's popular enough to be doing it, but I like seeing the skate videos. And they have like pretty good parkour mechanics. Like even if you like just no skateboard, jumping around, doing flips and like slides and stuff. Mm-hmm. I saw a parkour video in skate. Like there was no skateboard and I was like, that's fucking impressive.
Yeah.
So it was cool.
Sometimes I get like lives of people just playing like a parkour game. And it's like the most ridiculous thing. But
oh yeah, I think I've seen that parkour game.
Yeah, it's like similar to what this is.
Yeah. It's funny.
I watched 30 Days of Night, the movie.
Cool.
Rewatched that. I can't remember the last time I saw it, but do you remember when like Brian used to have like a poster for it, like in his room?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. And so that always kind of like, I was like, I got to watch that someday. And I think the movie is like nothing but like an improvement from like the book.
Cool.
Cause it just, it like adds a lot and everything they add seems to work, you know? Other than.
Is it like the same general story?
Yeah.
It's like Eben and Stella?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, Eben and Stella are separated. They're like about to get divorced.
Mm.
But then they get, she like misses her flight home or whatever and is like stuck there or whatever.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And the only part I didn't like is that the vampires killed like all these like dogs that are like in this little like kennel.
Oh, kennel.
And I guess they're like the...
Are they vampire dogs now?
No, they're like the dogs where like you like use them and like ride on like a sled dogs.
Oh, really?
I'm like, is that how they get around? Like, is that how they would
in this town?
Is that how they like would get out? You know, it just seemed like still a weird thing to add when there's like cars. You know,
did the vampires get around with vampire dogs that way?
I don't know.
That would be awesome.
That'd be wild. The vampires have like this language that only they speak. I don't know if it's like a real language. I didn't look it up, but they weren't speaking English.
It's probably some like ancient language that was like before English.
Yeah, if maybe.
Because were they doing the thing where it's like they've been always been around kind of deal? Because it seemed like that was the case in this book.
But like it was, Vicente like liked that dude brought them there.
Oh, okay.
You know.
So but, he wasn't concerned about keeping vampires a secret.
Well, he was at the end. So I thought that was like a weird thing that they changed. Because I don't know.
Is it like bloody?
It's like very bloody. Mm. It's like probably like the bloodiest vampire movie that I've seen, and it's like it's actually like very scary, like the
cool,
like the design of the vampires is not something that I've seen before. Mm-hmm. And it's just like it's all practical and they're just very freaky, like they're like
they got real vampires,
they got like black eyes and stuff, and this is very pretty scary imagery, you know.
Sweet.
But it's not like there's not like a ton of like jump scares or anything.
Mm-hmm.
During like the massacre like in the town, where they're like just killing everybody when they're walking around. There's like a Wilhelm scream.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, yes. It just kind of took me out of it.
Good movie. That was before like people really knew what to call it, I think.
Probably. Like, yeah. It was like used all the time.
Yeah.
It's just like, because I just find that to be funny, you know, that scream. Whenever it's used, it's always like in a funny aspect.
There it is.
Yeah. So Josh Hartnett plays Eben, the guy from like Trap.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they're like in this house or something. They're like, we need to go to this dude's attic or whatever to hide.
Yeah.
They don't go in a furnace. And he's like, oh, I'll distract them or whatever. And then Stella was like, he's like, I'll go with you. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, no, he'd be like, no, I got to do this. He's like, you get to safety. He's like, okay. I'm like, maybe it's because it's his ex-wife.
Yeah. Know? He's like, you could die, I guess. We're through anyway.
There's like no fight. I thought it was funny.
Did they get back together at the end?
Yes. And then they had that same like scene or whatever.
Oh, really?
So they didn't really touch on this, but like the sun, it like will burn them and their skin will be like black, you know, because they like burnt.
Mm-hmm.
And like in the middle of it, they're able to like turn someone's generator on and someone has like sun lamps because they're growing weed in their house or something.
And that works.
Josh Hartnett just like flashes a sun lamp on one of them and then just like they just burn like half their body.
Whoa.
And I'm like, a sun lamp? You know, it's just kind of odd.
It'd be funny if it didn't work.
Yeah.
Just like, and then just like,
I didn't expect it to.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess it's just like UV rays or something.
Something like that. I guess so. It seemed bright, you know, but so no one uses guns really because they don't want to like attract any of the vampires. So it's really this axe that they're using and they just chop a lot of heads off.
Cool.
And that's pretty.
And that'll kill them? It's not like a
chopping the head off. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, they add a lot to it. You know, they don't like stay in the one spot. They like move around and things like that.
That's good.
But it's really good. Add it to your list because I think you should see it.
Yeah, I was trying to. I bought it or like I rented it and I was going to try and watch it like during work because I knew I was going to have time.
It's on YouTube.
That's where I rented it.
No, it's on YouTube like for free. Like someone just posted it.
Oh, I didn't see that. I saw what I thought was it ended up being a trailer.
No, I know you can rent it from YouTube or whatever, but I like just searched it and it was there.
I also searched it and I just didn't have the patience to scroll very far, I guess.
Oh, no.
I think I saw all the official stuff first and
it was like the second or third thing.
Oh man. All right.
I'm like, oh, this video is 2 hours. What if that's the movie?
Well, I got it in HD.
Wow.
To rent and watch sometime in the next 30 days.
I didn't see any, you know, drop in quality. So
I even debated trying to watch it today, but in times two. Because it was on YouTube.
No, you gotta watch it.
Yeah, no, but I gotta go full.
Yeah, people like kind of criticize the pacing, but I think it's good.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it wouldn't like hold up to like how I remembered it, but I think it does. I think it's cool.
Yeah,
it's cool. Definitely like not like anything I'd really like recommend to people. It's kind of like it's just something about it. I just like it. You know, like it's brutal. You know, and bloody.
I watched the first half of the Sherlock Holmes movie.
Oh, good movie.
Dirty J. It is good, man. I'm like, they had something here.
Who directed those?
It's one of them. Matt Reeves? No.
No, is it fucking Matthew Vaughn?
Matthew Vaughn, I think, yeah.
Okay. That's like the Kingsman dude.
Yep.
Wait, no. It's don't tell me. It's Guy Ritchie, isn't it?
Dude, I hold on. That sounds right too. They all sound right. All those directors are the same in my head. Don't look at it. I got it right here. Oh, that's the Netflix show. Give me a second. I heard that's good too.
Yeah, the BBC one.
Yeah. Oh, wait. What's your final answer?
Guy Ritchie.
Yeah.
Nice. he has like a big one, you know.
Dude, Mark Strong is in that.
Is he a bad guy?
He's a bad guy.
Oh, okay.
He's a bad guy with a cloak and he does magic.
That's like the second movie where he's a bad guy with a cloak of magic.
I know. And I was like, Mark Strong is in this?
Nah.
It's good. There's a lot of yapping in the middle, and I think it's when I fell asleep. But it's fun in the beginning, and then you see the discombobulate, and that's always fun.
Yeah. And you just keep rewinding it.
Yeah. I just rewinded that part. Yeah, that's good.
We rewatched Split
Sarah, I want to rewatch that too.
Sarah saw like a clip of it and she's like, you want to watch Split? I'm like, hell yeah, dude.
That's awesome.
That's like my favorite Shyamalan.
I need to, I think it might be mine too.
I had to like explain to her like
Unbreakable,
the ending. Yeah. She's like, was it? She's like, did James McAvoy get an Oscar for this? I'm like, no.
He didn't?
He should have.
Was he nommed?
No. I, or maybe it might have been, but like.
He was like unreal in that.
Unreal. It's like, it's his best thing.
It's insane.
Like he.
After that movie, I was like, I think this guy's my favorite actor.
I was like,
for a little bit, but
I was like, the Oscars don't acknowledge horror until like The Substance came out, you know?
Yeah.
But.
Oh, that's not true.
There was like Silence of the Lambs.
No, yeah.
Recognition when that came out, but that was about it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that movie rules. I always think like, is this a 5 out of 5? But then I'm like, no, it's like 4.5. And
really?
I went to my review and that's what I put it at.
Oh, okay. So you're like, true.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I wanna rewatch that one too. And I don't think I've seen Unbreakable.
It's definitely,
I know it's probably
jarring to go back to.
Yeah, I know it's probably not as good as Split.
I just had to explain to her like why we shouldn't watch Glass necessarily.
Do you remember when we saw that?
Yeah, in the theater.
Yeah, theater. It was so weird.
Yeah, I mean, there's things to like about it, but it's just so.
Yeah, it's kind of fun, but
it's weird to just like have this heater, and then like, oh, actually, it's connected, you know. And it's just kind
of. And then to have a sequel for both of those movies, and the final plot's the final scene is in a parking lot.
Yeah,
where they all. Run on all fours and fight each other.
And Bruce Willis dies in a puddle.
He does.
But
good movies.
Good movies. And then I watched Gen V. But
what do you think of Gen V? Like so far, non-spoilery?
It's good. I like it. It's not the season 2 that I was expecting.
But is it picking up after the last episode of The Boys?
Yeah, there's like kind of a time jump. But I think it was written in a way to be like respectful to like the Andre character.
Yeah.
That dude Chance that died. I think mm-hmm. it was Chance.
Yeah, he was really good in the first
season. Yeah, he's awesome. So that was a bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
But it's I don't think it's quite as like vulgar as the first season, but there's still time, you know.
You watched the 3 episodes that are out right now?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I went shopping, I'm like, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think she would like The Boys if we did like a rewatch. So I didn't want to watch it while she was there, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's good. I like that show.
Nice.
But Nathan, what are we going to read next week?
What are we going to read next week?
Another horror book. We're in horror month.
Horror month, baby.
Spooky month.
Very spooky.
I know we had some stuff lined up.
Do you want to do Jughead the Hunger or Plastic Man No More?
Ooh.
Plastic Man is probably shorter. I think it's like 4 issues.
I think that's probably the smarter thing to do. So let's do Plastic Man No More.
Alrighty. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. The link tree is in the bio. You can like, comment, and subscribe.
And you better.
Yeah. Send us an email. Some horror books.
Yeah.
We have like a list, but I don't think it's like a great list as far as like what's left after this.
We're willing to, you know.
Yeah, let us know what something that's scary or mostly good. Scary, I think. Yeah.
I think scarier the better.
Because like there's horror stuff. It's just like the, I guess.
Spooky, I guess.
It has to be labeled as horror, but not quite that scary. So yeah, let us know. TraderSpot@gmail.com. And goodbye.
Bye.